Let's start by reading the passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those verses deal with the humiliation of the God of the universe in human form and his exaltation above all, so that all confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The humiliation, the exaltation, opposite sides of one coin, that the Lord Jesus Christ. You read in the passage some things that are quite marvelous, yet they're quite plain and simple. They're concepts about which I can really have no experience, and yet I can read the words and understand what is being said. Here we have the reader, me, you, needing to know something about the mind of Christ. This is not a matter of sharing of IQ points. This is a matter of learning the motives, the mind, why, the mindset.
Yes.
And he said, Paul, to me, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and then the semicolon tells me I'm going to get a description of it. So I'm reading this passage and learning that humility, because we are sinful flesh, it's easier for me to be humble than it would be for God manifest in the flesh.
Yes.
That humility and that taking that position of service, even the service to the cross, is something that God is going to exalt. And so I see something about the mind of Christ, and I see something about how I need to be disciplined to learn how to think.
Yes.
Christ, verse 5, being in the form of God. So, whatever form God is, there's Jesus. The three are one. People made God and Christ and the Holy Spirit such separate entities that in their transmission of who they are, they turn into three gods. Mm-hmm. The three are one. One God, three manifestations. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If I think it's not robbery to be equal with Don, what did I just say? I'm not stealing from Don to be equal with him.
No.
I don't have to steal of any of Don's attributes to be equal with him. I am. We're equal.
That's right.
Isn't that what the verse says?
Yes.
So I didn't think it was robbery to do that.
No.
Because it wasn't.
No.
Jesus doesn't think it's robbery to be equal with God. Most of Christianity makes him a lesser God. Mm-hmm. The second person of the triune God is how you hear it referred to. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad description. But the second person and the third person, those are delegated positions, not lessening who they are.
Amen.
That's an awfully good lesson around the house. There are delegated positions, men and women. Mm-hmm. That doesn't lessen the women.
Amen.
Hmm? What a concept. Amen. Well, let this mind be in you, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's fairly straightforward, isn't it? But why the disjunctive conjunction? But he's equal with God, is what you get in verse 6. But the disjunctive conjunction, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Who is he? He's the fullness of the Godhead body. He's the fellow in the form of God. He is not thinking it robbery to be equal with God. But he takes a position. The positional truth is no reputation. The positional truth is form of a servant. What form did he have in verse 6? See the positional truth? Is he a different being in verse 7 than he was in verse 6? No. Different form for that being. Okay? Made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Is he naturally in the likeness of men? No. He's naturally the form of God. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Who humbled him? You? Me? No. He humbled himself. He took my sin, but my sin didn't humble him. He humbled himself so as to take my sin. And became obedient unto death. When it says even the death of the cross, remember you're told in Galatians, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. He was made a curse for us. He did not have the death that Caesar died in his sleep. He did not have the death of a warrior. He did not have the death of a hero on the battlefield. He had the death of a cursed person.
Right.
He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. He takes that curse. Even the death of the cross means something. I mean, he didn't just die. He took a murderer's cross, Barabbas, literally.
Yes.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The name that he has, verse 9, is the same name that he has in verse 6. The difference in verses 7 and 8 is he humbled himself. He took a position. He never ceased to be who he was. He's the fullness of the Godhead. What's the next word?
Bodily.
In a body. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, the underworld. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now the issue that has been put on the table, and we didn't put it on the table, but the issue that has been put on the table is in the positional work of Christ having humbled himself. The debate is, was he still God then? Was he still the fullness of the Godhead bodily in verses 7 and 8 when he takes a position of humility? If he's not the fullness of the Godhead bodily in verses 7 and 8, if he's lessened in some aspect, then how much less was he? Some say he didn't have any of God's power until he gets water baptized. When his ministry really starts, then they say you don't see miracles before then. Guess what? You don't see anything before then.
Right.
You don't hear anything from him when he's 12 until
right.
He shows up with John.
Yeah.
But they make that point, see, there wasn't any miracles going on.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't fully God then. They say Jesus, when the Holy Spirit descends on him, gains God consciousness. He didn't know who he was. Now, that liberal bent, that he didn't know who he was, wasn't performing miracles, didn't have any power, is a liberal persuasion that you'll get in churches such as United Methodist and Episcopalian, and Pastor Richard Jordan is teaching it.
That's right.
Which is stunning.
Shameful.
The idea that the first time Jesus... Why would Pastor Jordan say something as stupid, as mind-numbingly wrong, as that Jesus didn't know who he was until God says from heaven, "Thou art my son"? Jesus is 30 years old. And I'm thinking, Pastor Jordan, he's not a stupid man. He's a bright guy. Why? Where'd that come from? All I can do is guess, because he won't talk to me anymore. All I can do is guess. He went to a Pastor Jordan went to a Methodist seminary. His daddy was a Methodist preacher. Methodism has long accepted Christ gaining God consciousness at his water baptism, when the Holy Ghost shows up. And I'm thinking, Pastor Jordan is still teaching that wrong thing. And he's teaching it so badly that he can't even communicate it effectively. And I'm so troubled. Where does this come from? It's not in the verses in front of you.
No, it's not.
Now, I wrote an article about the Prince and the Pauper and used that as an illustration. It's interesting. Mark Twain wrote The Prince and the Pauper in 1881. And the point was, the prince lived as a pauper, but he never ceased to be the prince.
Exactly.
And the pauper, he's in the castle, but he never ceased to be the pauper.
That's right.
They were who they were.
Yes.
Christ humbled himself. He didn't cease to be who he was.
Right.
Now you say, brother, where's all this come from? Why did this issue get put on the table? Answer is in the Greek language. And this pass out, which you're now getting, shows the Greek word kinu. Kenosis, kenotic theology, is what you're looking at. And according to Strong's, it means to empty out, to drain. It is translated, make void, make of none effect, be in vain, and make of no reputation. You see, this fellow puts Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, he emptied himself. And then he asks the question of what did Christ empty himself? Why would I even ask that question from my King James Bible? He doesn't empty himself.
No.
He humbles himself.
Amen.
And it's interesting that there are several meanings for the word kino and kenosis. The one the liberals chose was that he emptied himself. And then I give you a list by this apologist for Jesus, saying that, point number one, Christ emptied himself of equality with God. That's not what the verse says.
No.
He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, what did your mommy first tell you about lying? When we practice to deceive, and the net, the confusion, the spider web we built for ourselves? The NIV says, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So I illustrated for you with Don, when I see Don and I see I can grasp equality with Don, we're equal. The NIV says, I can't grasp it. The opposite teaching. The New American Standard, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. So the New American Standard, which is the darling of the intellectuals using the critical text of Westcott and Hort, says, Jesus looked at God, oh, I can't grasp doing that. It's the opposite.
Yes.
So, either you've got a dumbed-down Jesus or you don't. You don't get a dumbed-down Jesus in the King James English.
Amen.
You get a dumbed-down Jesus by taking one of several possible definitions of kenosis and making it emptied, as did a Lutheran theologian in 1861. Canonic theology was fomented back at the time of the Civil War. So when Wesley writes a hymn, and can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's love? He emptied himself of all but love, is in the chorus.
Yes, it is.
He emptied himself. Kenosis, meaning empty. Fascinating, is it not? So, I've given you the argument for kenosis. This is poison. Yours is blue, yeah. So, this fellow says, of what did Christ empty himself? It could not have been his divine nature, for he was God. One side of the mouth says it couldn't have been his divine nature. The other side of his mouth says he emptied himself of equality with God. Whoops! There went the divine nature.
Yes, it is.
That's exactly what Pastor Jordan is doing. He's talking out both sides of his mouth.
Yes.
Oh, he's always God, but he had none of the attributes of God. Then, honey, he's not God.
No.
Now, I understand why the Episcopals and the United Methodists go this route.
Yeah.
Because they've got religion without salvation.
Yes.
I don't know why the grace movement would encompass this teaching. Now, there are four MP3 files on this frisbee and a transcript of the MP3 files is here so you can read along as you go. Okay? This is people who responded to the issue. Let's see, I can't give you two. I gotta do it differently. Do it that way. So now you've got all the material. And you can make up your own mind. Where's the pickle? When Pastor Jordan says he made a choice to lay aside the independent exercise of all of his deity attributes, I don't know how we're cursing fig trees. I don't know how we're walking on water. I don't know how we're reading minds. I don't know how we're getting Lazarus up. Jesus Christ cannot give up his deity. He doesn't empty. What he does is he lays aside. Willingly, choosingly, I don't know if that's a word, he makes the choice to lay aside the independent exercise of his deity. Good Methodist doctrine here.
Oh, yeah.
This has no place in the grace movement.
No.
So, for this, people are choosing up sides between themselves rather than over the doctrine.
That's it. Yes.
physician's a doctor.
Amen.
Now, if Christ emptied himself, and to use more, how do I say it, devious terminology, he laid aside the free and independent exercise of all of his deity attributes. If he emptied himself of all of his deity attributes, he's not going to use any of his deity attributes. I got a whole lot of Bible that doesn't make sense.
Right. Yep.
That's right.
I got a whole lot of Bible that's wacky.
Yes.
Must not be true.
Yeah.
Am I saying those miracles didn't really happen? What church could I go to and find out the miracles didn't really happen?
Methodist.
Oh, I'm back to the Methodist. I'm back to the Episcopal. I'm back to the high church.
Yeah.
And this is being the Jesus Seminar. Mm-hmm. And this is being introduced into the Grace Movement. And most of the Grace Movement, frankly, is too obtuse to be offended by it.
Mm. Yeah.
That's scary.
Yes, it is.
I got an email the other day. Brother McLean, we'd really appreciate if you spent some time on the radio broadcast dealing with Kenneth Copeland. I'm thinking, where do I start? How can anybody take him seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a false plan of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He's all wrong about the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
He's all wrong about the... I mean, where do you start? His plan of salvation, go to his website and read it. It's Romans 10, 9 and 10. Well, that works in the Grace Movement. Now I know why I'm getting the question.
Yes. Yes.
It's scary.
It is.
It's scary. Well, I've identified for you the issue that the King James Bible did not put on the table.
That's it.
I'm a King James Bible believer.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says, well, most of the people that read, you know, come to the conclusion that it's a card game. No, no. Most of the people that read, you know, come to the conclusion he emptied himself. I don't care. Further, when you take your keno-emptied position, you turn around and put it in your Bible that he couldn't grasp being equal with God, when that's who he is.
Amen.
But then you're the same people that say 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 doesn't belong in the Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing something going on here.
Yeah.
Attacking the deity of Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You say, brother, you're cynical. You betcha. I'm always glad to be wrong then.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm not offended when I'm wrong. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. Happens maybe twice a year.
Maybe.
Harold's going to straighten me out on the right home on that one. The Bible Believer's Commentary says this great passage on the humility and exaltation of Christ is found between verses 5 and 11. And nowhere in Philippians is the vicious, bigoted prejudice of the narrow-minded, intolerant enemies of the Bible any more manifest than in this section.
Amen.
And it's about the deity of my Savior.
Yes.
The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, we read Philippians. Do we not know that I'm complete in the fullness of the Godhead bodily from Colossians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10?
Mm-hmm.
So, I've got a dog in the hunt here.
Yes.
If he's not who he said he was, then I'm not who I think I am.
That's
right.
It. Mm-hmm. Who was he on the cross?
He was made to be sin. He was God. Nobody but God could take the sins.
That's right.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, I'm learning about the mind. I'm learning the difference between self-sacrifice and self-aggrandizement.
Yes.
We'll spend most of our lives learning anything about that.
That's true.
Paul asks in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
I thought about that. I thought, we have the mind of Christ. It can't mean that I'm as smart as he is. It can't mean that I know the end from the beginning the way that he does. So I had to read some other verses to get the feel for it's the mindset, the mind having made a decision to endure the shame of the cross. It's self-sacrifice. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Well, I can't ever. On my best day, I can't think, well, I'm equal with God, but I'm complete in Him. So Paul is telling me I need to learn something from this, and it is about self-sacrifice. It is about the mind of Christ. It's interesting, as I read to you, the NIV and the New American Standard handling of Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. The King James Bible says the opposite of the NIV, the New American Standard. The Greek text behind the King James Bible obviously agrees with the King James Bible. The Greek text that says Christ couldn't grasp being equal with God is the text of Westcott Port.
Yes.
1881, the same day Mark Twain wrote Prince and the Pauper. Same year. And the New English Bible says Christ had God's nature. That's not good enough. If He's not God manifested in the flesh, He's just got the nature. Phillips says He has God's nature. The Wycliffe Commentary, page 1324, says Christ merely possessed the essential qualities of God. This is called the Arian heresy.
Yeah.
That Jesus Christ is a lesser God. The New American Standard teaches exactly as the Jehovah Witness Bible teaches in John chapter 1, verse 18. The Fulbert Commentary, page 59, said Christ had the essential attributes of God. Dumelo. Not everybody's got these in their library, by the way. Dumelo, page 973, seems closest to what Pastor Jordan is saying. Christ was deprived of His divine attributes, though not His intrinsic deity. Wouldn't the emperor have no clothes?
Yeah.
If he laid aside the free and independent exercise of all of His deity attributes and doesn't know the revelation of the mystery until after the death, burial, and resurrection, you put an ignorant God on the cross who didn't know anything. Well, King James Bible is our friend here.
Amen.
Now let me back up. I asked you to read these half dozen verses a couple of times, and no doubt you did. You can't read those verses and engage in this controversy because the verses don't have this controversy.
That's right.
The verses as they stand in your King James Bible, you read right on. You go on to verse 12, 13, 14. You don't have a problem. A gut-wrenching, deity-denying problem does not exist as you're reading it here.
That's right.
When you reverse what a verse says, and change humble to empty, all of a sudden there's new things that show up. Now, there you are, you're reading your NIV, there you are, you're reading your New American Standard. You don't know about canonic theology. You don't know the debate over when Jesus became the Christ. Gibson calls his movie The Passion of the Christ. Yeah. When you hear that language, the Christ, it's never the Lord Jesus Christ of your Bible.
No.
It is always the intellectual concept of sacrifice of the liberal churches.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, you read these six verses and you say, what's the big deal? The big deal is, for 150 years, people have been debating the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ right out of here.
Yes.
You don't see it. They see it based on a Greek text that leaves out Jesus' name 162 times. They see it based on a Westcott Hort view that doesn't believe the miracles were literally true.
Right.
The unbelievers have churches.
Yes, they do.
I hit that pretty hard in recent radio broadcasts. The atheist, does he believe in a six-day creation?
No.
No. Neither do the Baptists or the Methodists.
That's right.
For the most part.
That's it.
The atheist, do they believe that Jonah got hit by a whale and spat out on dry ground?
No.
Neither do the Presbyterians. Well, that's just a story. You don't have to take the Bible literally. The difference between you and church and the atheist somewhere else is what?
Tithing.
Neither one of you believe. Yeah, you want one of you tithes. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying the issue for me. She's a lot of help. These verses are beautiful because in our King James Bible, they demonstrate the God of the universe humbling himself for his fallen creation.
Yes.
That's in verse 5. They demonstrate how he took a position as humanity.
Yes.
He didn't cease to be who he was. They demonstrate he takes no reputation. He's born of poor people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Apparently in a lean-to. Isn't that what they sell at Christmas time? They all look like little lean-tos.
Yeah.
No room for him in the end. I think he had a better barn than that. They all look like lean-tos. He operates serving the people that yet still had no use for him and put him on the cross.
That's right.
So it's a marvelous passage. And of course, the exaltation of God. He's God. That's to be expected.
Yes.
The shocker is what he did. Identifying with humanity, taking humanity's place, paying humanity's price. Wow. He made himself of no reputation. Verse 7, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. When the prince left the castle and lived among the poor people, he made himself of no reputation. The whole point of the story is, when the time comes, hey, I'm the prince, I'm going to help you guys out.
Yes.
The prince and the pauper would seem to indicate that atheist humorist Mark Twain had a better grasp on kenosis than does the president of Grace School of Bible.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What a thought. What a concept. Now, I've said to you before that perhaps the best dispensationally oriented commentary is the student's commentary done by Williams. And Williams says, Christ's self-humiliation proved his deity. You can't humble yourself if you're already humble.
That's right.
You can't say, I'm a man, if that's all you ever were. The point of what he did is, that's not who he was. He was the form of God, took the form of a man. He's to be exalted. He humbled himself. And the humiliation of the cross, as the verse points out, even the death of the cross, I mean, it's every Muslim will tell you, he couldn't be God because God can't die.
Yep.
So they use the death, burial, and resurrection as an attack on Christianity. He became a man so he could die.
Yes.
That's why he's made lower than the angels, because angels can't die.
That's right.
Oops. Words mean things.
Yes, they do.
Well, I thought angels could die.
I don't know where I go next.
I don't know where I go next.
So, Adam, the first Adam in the garden, by robbery, sought to exalt himself to the dishonoring of God. He robbed something off a tree. The second Adam humbled himself to the honoring of God. The first Adam exalted himself and was humble. The last Adam humbled himself and was exalted. That's what the student's commentary says on page 930. It's pretty good stuff.
Yes.
Being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I point out again that humbled is not the same as emptied. You ever been humbled? Sometimes circumstances humble you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, well, you need to be knocked down a few pegs, and you do get knocked down a few pegs.
Yeah.
You ever have that happen?
Yeah.
Sure, it happens. Well, Christ, he did it upon himself. He humbled himself. Christ professes equality with God, just as 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 declares. Notice, in John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared it. Do you know what the New American Standard says in John chapter 1, verse 18? The only begotten God. A begotten God. A lesser God, begotten of another God. And how many millions of New American Standards have been sold? And the people holding the New American Standard saying, well, I couldn't be a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, they could.
You got the same text? It's scary. John chapter 3, verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Since no man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, clearly Christ is declaring himself, he's worthy.
That's right.
John chapter 5, verse 22, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto his Son. There's a place where Jesus, in judging, is superior to the Father.
Right.
John chapter 6, verse 46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Well, Jesus, of God, saw the Father. He's God manifest in the flesh. When Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 58, before Abraham was, I am.
Yes.
That's why the men fell to the ground.
Exactly.
You read the passage, Jesus says a sentence and guys are falling on the ground. Why are they falling on the ground? He just declared himself to be the Elohim, the I Am. And in John chapter 10, verse 33, the Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Those folks knew he declared himself to be God.
That's right.
But the NIV and the New American Standard don't. The minute you think there aren't agendas in place, that there aren't axes being ground and sharpened, you become naive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Would that church life were pure and altruistic and everything above board? Would that it were? Then we'd be living, I accuse my wife of living in a dream world. Where lawyers are honest. Judges judge rightly, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rose-colored glasses land. Would that it were that way. The deity of Christ is the central tenet of Christianity.
Yes.
That's right.
If he's merely a man example, then salvation is dependent on you.
That's it.
If he's just a pattern, if he's just a man, if he's just an example, follow in his footsteps, follow him in baptism, That's where that comes from.
Yes.
If he's the God of the universe who knew no sin, being made sin for you and for me, and we have our righteousness as a product of his imputation, Romans chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, then his deity matters. If I can reduce Jesus into a wafer from the bakery, and I say some magic words and turn this host into the body of Christ, and then you eat the host, I've delivered you the body of Christ. What have I done with Christ himself? Needs cheese, right?
Crap cheese.
I mean, I've diminished him.
Yes.
I've diminished him. If I get my beads and I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Marys and one our Father, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Marys and one our Father, where's Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
The diminution of Christ's deity is central to the devil's lie program that
yes.
gets us to worship ourselves rather than the Creator.
Yes, exactly.
If I have to deal with deity, that makes it real simple, because he is and I'm not.
Yes.
If he's just a pattern, if he's just an example, well then, I just have to try harder.
Yeah.
I'm more like him. Mormon theology. As man is, God once was. As God is, man can become. No grace, no faith, no substitutionary atonement, no propitiatory sacrifice.
Propitiatory,
no wonder it doesn't catch on. Too many syllables. Doesn't rhyme with anything. God exalts Christ, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. The exaltation of Christ is from the position he chose to take back to the position that he started out with in verse 6. It's not the infusion of something that he didn't have at his water baptism. When did Jesus become the Christ? Google that. And look at the liberal blather you'll get. Oh, he became the Christ when the Holy Ghost descended. And you get all this kind of stuff. I like to be reminded somewhere in verses 9, 10, and 11 of Psalm 138, verse 2, God has regarded his word even above his name. So I got it, the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, and I got something that's even above that. I got the Bible. As a Bible believer, I read Philippians chapter 2, go right on to chapter 3.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of issues on the table. Pastor Jordan used me personally to put kind of a King James wrapper, and he's not a King James guy. And then he turns around and does this with emptied out Jesus, canonic theology. Wow. When the statement is made, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, the things in heaven is going to involve the heavenly places where you and I reside. The things in the earth is going to involve Israel, the 12 tribes, and their kingdom program. There is an underworld. And in your notes, I gave you a little study on the underworld that I won't bother with this morning. It's there for your purposes, not for this particular teaching. It's real. I opened up my copy of Scientific American, and they've got a big section on the core of the Earth. And they show us up here, you know, we got a little hole and we're digging gardening. Mm-hmm. We really don't know what's down there.
No.
We can't even put a cap on a straw 1 mile in the ocean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our egos are the biggest thing we've got, you know?
Yes, they are.
Humanity, we're just so stuck on ourselves. I heard somebody likening this crisis with the oil in the Gulf, with Katrina, and oh, Bush couldn't handle his, and now President Obama can't handle his. I back up and say, what made either one of these guys think that they could fix a problem of a lesion in the earth putting forth 20,000 barrels a day? They say 5, I say 20, 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long is it going to take us to deploy 40,000 additional guys in Afghanistan? Petraeus says 6 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they are ready to go. We've got a 500,000 people in New Orleans, and you want them out of there in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And they ain't ready to go.
Yeah.
It's unrealistic. Yeah. We look to Washington to solve these things. Good night, they can't.
No.
I don't care what party's in there. The problem's bigger than the solvers.
Yes.
We're just that way.
Yes, we are.
We think we're a much bigger deal than we actually are.
Yep.
I come down through these verses and I just don't have a lick of trouble.
No.
Somebody raises the issue that he emptied himself. Somebody reverses what the verse says in verse 6. Now I got a problem.
Yep.
Now I've got a Jesus who doesn't think he can be equal with God. NIV, New American Standard. Now I've got an emptied out Jesus. Canonic Theology, John Wesley. I was reading my Bible, minding my own business, and none of those problems came up until the liberal text got a hold of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Until the teachings of the liberal denominations got a hold of it.
Yep.
Then I wind up with the diminished Jesus. Anybody comes along and attempts to diminish my Savior, I'm sorry. You and I used to be friends. I'm not mad at you personally. Mm-hmm. But you leave my Savior alone.
Amen.
He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I'm complete in Him.
Yes.
You go your way. I care not to share that path with you. We'll stop there, having dealt with the negative. Next time we'll go through the same verses and try to see what really is there instead of what isn't there, with a different focus on it.
Yes.
And we'll run through it again. Now, I warned you that there's a good chance I would bog down in Philippians chapter 2. And I don't mean to. But I'd be wrong if I didn't point out what's going on.
Amen.
And point out the heresies and problems with it. All right. At that point, stick a fork in me. I'm done.
Some of